Welcome you to the Bible class here in Ballymena this morning, and to those who are looking on by means of the webcast, we welcome you in the Saviour's great name as you watch in and as you listen and to in whatever part of the world that you are found in this morning. Just before we come to read the Word of God, could we just seek the Lord's face in a word of prayer and ask for His help and ask for His blessing as we come to His Word this morning. Let's all seek the Lord's face in prayer, please. Our gracious and eternal and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, indeed this morning for the great opportunity that is ours of coming again into Thy house. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast so arranged our steps. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast so ordered our path, Lord, that we have been enabled, Lord, to be here this morning. We thank Thee, Father, that we're found here in this Thy house to live and to praise and to magnify Thy name. We thank Thee, Father, for the return of Thy day. We thank Thee, Father, for this first day of the week, the Lord's Day, in which we are reminded again of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ bodily from the grave. And Father, even as we the very thought, Lord, of the resurrection, even, Lord, reminds us of His once-for-all sacrifice for our sins upon Calvary. We thank Thee, Father, indeed this morning that we can approach Thee on the merits and on the basis of the Saviour's precious blood. We thank Thee, Father, for each one in our midst this morning. And, Lord, we can read our titles clear to a mansion in the sky. We thank Thee, Father, that we have been redeemed by precious blood, and that we have been saved for time and for eternity. And now, Father, as we turn to Thy Word for a season this morning, we ask Thee that Thou will bless the reading of Thy Word, that Thou will bless the proclamation of Thy Word. And we pray, Father, indeed, that we will have a very real and a very conscious and a very definite sense of Thy presence and of Thy power, and that we will know that God is in our midst. We look to Thee now. Undertake, Lord, as we bring Thy Word. We pray, Lord, that Thou will give us words from Thyself, for words that Thou Thyself shall give must and shall prevail. Continue with us now, we ask Thee, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Could I ask you to turn, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. 2 Chronicles in the chapter 7. We're going to commence our reading at the verse 1. And I'm going to read from verse 1 through to the end of verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Commencing to read at verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 20,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices. The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because His mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time Solomon kept a feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath onto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David, unto Solomon, unto Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And in our reading at verse 14, amen, and we know the Lord will bless this reading of his word to each and to all of our hearts. If you want a text this morning for what I've got to say, you will find it there in verse 14, a well-known text of Scripture that is often quoted. Verse 14 of chapter 7, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Solomon's reign of 40 years over all Israel is referred to by Bible commentators and Bible scholars as being Israel's golden age. And the highlight of Solomon's reign is and was widely accepted as being the construction of the house of God, otherwise known as the temple. And we're not going to take the time this morning to go through the verses, but if we were to look through the previous chapters of 2 Chronicles and 1 Chronicles, you will discover that Solomon commenced this project of building this temple in the 2nd day of the 2nd month and in the 4th year of his reign. And it took Solomon 7 years to complete the project of building the house of the Lord. The Lord had given to Solomon great wisdom. You will remember how that the Lord gave to Solomon wisdom greater than any of his predecessors had ever known. And not only wisdom greater than any of his predecessors had ever known, but wisdom that was to be greater than any of his successors would even know. And we find that Solomon under God was a very wise man at this stage of his life. His father David, Solomon's father David, had desired to build a house for Jehovah. But because that David was a man of war, he was forbidden to build the house of God. The Lord had said to him, because you've been a man of war and because you have shed much blood, therefore you will not build me a house to dwell in. But what David, the father of Solomon, did do in his latter, in the latter days of his reign and latter years, he commenced to prepare, or he prepared for the building of this house, in that he started to gather together materials for the building of the house. And we read in Chronicles how that he gave even to Solomon his son the plan or the drawings that David himself had received from the Lord. The plan or the pattern that this house would be built after. And so we find here in this text in chapter 7 verse 14. As we come to chapter 7 here, we find that Solomon has been and his people have been dedicating the temple. And Solomon commences to his prayer of dedication back in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles. And in chapter 6, verses 14 through to verse 42. And you can look at it sometime in your own time. There we discover that Solomon commenced to offer his prayer of dedication to the Lord. And then whenever we come into chapter 7 and in the verse 12, there we read that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And as we come to our text here in chapter 7, 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In this text here, if we look at it very closely, we discover that the Lord is entering into a covenant with Solomon. In this covenant here, this covenant was a covenant that was conditional. It was a covenant that was being made between two parties. And if you look at the text very closely, you will discover that the parties that are involved in this covenant was Solomon, was one of the parties, and Jehovah was the other party. And I have said that this covenant was conditional, because when we read the verse, you will find, as we will find in a few moments also, that when you read this verse, the covenant is conditional. It's conditional upon Solomon and his people fulfilling their part of the covenant. For instance, would the people of Israel do exactly as the Lord had instructed them to do in this text in verse 14? Because if they would do as the Lord had told them in this verse 14 to do, then they would experience blessing, and they would experience healing, and they would experience blessing in their land that they had never known before. But if they do not do what the Lord wants them to do, then they will experience nothing but the curse of God and great darkness. And just as we come to verse 14 this morning, I want us also to think the words of verse 14. I believe we can apply them even to the day and situation in which we find ourselves. Yes, we can. The world itself is in great need this morning. The nations of the world are in great turmoil. Our own province is in great turmoil. Our own town, yes, even our own families outside of Christ are in great turmoil. And I believe that the answer for all of these things is found here in our text. And I have called or named this message this morning, God's Healing the Land, or Healing the Land. First thing I want you to notice from this text in verse 14, that we have got a people described. Jehovah says here to Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name. If my people, which are called by my name. Here in this text, the Lord refers to a particular people. A people that he is not ashamed to be identified with. A people that he is not ashamed to own. And we've got to say this morning that Israel of old were God's chosen people. We're all aware how that God chose them out of all the nations of the earth to be a special and a peculiar people unto himself. He chose them and he redeemed them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness and he brought them into the promised land. And in every sense of the word, Israel of old, the Old Testament Israel, were God's chosen people. They were God's own people. They were the people who were called and known as the Lord's people. You will be aware that as we read through the Old Testament scriptures, that as Israel came to worship in the tabernacle and later as they came to worship in the temple, and even as they still were coming to the temple in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was Israel only who came to worship in the tabernacle. It was Israel only who came to worship in the tabernacle or in the temple. In fact, we are reminded by scholars that in the Jewish temple of Christ's day, that whenever the individual would have entered into one of the outer courts, known as the court of the Gentiles, that the moment that you stepped into the court of the Gentiles, that you wouldn't have gone very far until you would have been confronted by various plaques, a number of plaques that would have told you and reminded you that if you were not of the house of Israel, that you should not and you must not proceed any further. And therefore it was only Israel who could come to the temple. Even in the days of Christ, the Gentile could not proceed any further than the court of the Gentiles. And it's for this very reason that we read of a disruption one time in the life of the Apostle Paul when the Jews rushed upon him and they were going to deal with him harshly because they felt that he was a Gentile and they felt that he had breached this law and went beyond the court. But that is just by the way. Jehovah had a people here in the Old Testament. And of course, Jehovah still is a people even to this day. The New Testament church is God's Israel. The New Testament church are those who have been redeemed out of the land of bondage. We have been brought out of the Egypt of this world, and we have been redeemed by the Saviour's precious blood. And the New Testament church is now the temple of the living God. And just as the temple in Solomon's day, the temple in Solomon's day was considered to be a tremendous edifice. Whenever we read scholars and they tell us about the size of the stones that were to be found in this temple, the size of the stones in themselves even beggars belief. So large and so huge were they. And these, just as the stones in Solomon's temple, they were put into place one by one, so today you and I are members of the spiritual temple of God. That is, if we are saved. If we are saved and if we are washed in the Saviour's blood, then we are members of the spiritual temple of God. And you know, in Solomon's time, each stone had a very important part to play. A very important part to play. Each stone in itself, in that temple, it was unique. Because it was unique, it had a particular spot that it was to be placed in. And I believe that here is a picture even of the spiritual temple of believers. We are all different in the sense of physical appearance. We are all different in the sense of temperaments. We are all different in so many different ways. And yet, in the spiritual temple, we are very important. We are very important because we have got a particular place in the temple of God. This morning I have got a particular place in God's spiritual temple, and I am placed there by God and by His Spirit. And that place is resigned specially for me, and no one else can have that spot because it's mine. God has placed me there. Would you turn for a second to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, please? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Just when you're turning up, I should have said also that whenever Solomon was building this temple, that on the site, that there was not the sound of a hammer, nor there was not a sound of a chisel to be heard on site. Because all of the stones that were put into the temple in Solomon's day, they were all prepared in quarries away beyond the temple site. They were all chiseled out and shaped, and they were just simply transported to Jerusalem and set into place. But will you look with me, please, at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And here the Apostle Peter is saying, ye also, as lively stones. And the word there can be read, ye also as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And if you were to look for a second also at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, and you will find there in 1 Peter 2 and verse 4 that the word living is used. Well, the word living that is used in verse 4 and the word lively that's used in verse 5 in the original Greek, they are both the same word. So therefore, that's why I'm saying that we can read ye also as living stones are built of a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are living stones this morning in God's spiritual temple. And you know another amazing thing about it, and another amazing comparison? Just as the temple in Solomon's day, just as those stones were brought and they were put into place, there was not the sound of a hammer, there was not the sound of a chisel, but each stone was put into its place in the temple when it was prepared. Well, the same is also true spiritually, because the Spirit of God, in the preparation of the spiritual stone, there's not a sound. There's not a noise. The Spirit of God is working silently. And oftentimes He's working when we are not aware that He's working. And I have learned that this week for myself and my own family circle. The Spirit of God is working when you and I are not aware that He's working. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 3 and verse 8 concerning the Spirit, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And thus these people here that are mentioned in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, a people described, they are my people. Jehovah here says to Solomon, if my people, the people who were his own, the people whom he had redeemed, and likewise he would say also the same to ourselves this morning here in Bilhamina. But if we look at our text again, I want you to notice that not only do we have a people described, but I want you to notice secondly that we also have a prayer detailed. Because Jehovah goes on to say here to Solomon, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. A prayer detailed. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. In this text here, Jehovah is detailing for Solomon the type of praying that is required from the Lord's people if their land is to be healed. These truths were very relevant to Solomon and to the people of Israel in their day and in their generation. I want you to notice, first of all, that the Lord mentions here humility. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Humility. God's people ought to be a humble people. Humility and meekness ought to be a mark, ought to be a character of all of God's people, regardless of what generation or timeline that we live in this world. We read in Numbers 12 and verse 3 of the meekness of Moses. Sometimes people confuse meekness with weakness, but we ought not to do that. Moses was a meek man. Moses was a humble man. And if he wouldn't have been a humble man, he could not have done the job that the Lord had called him to. Because it took a meek man, it took a humble man to lead something like 2 to 3 million people through the wilderness. This word humility in the original means to bend the knee. In other places it's also translated such as bring down low or into subjection or to subdue. A humble person is not one who's full of his own importance. A humble person and a meek person is not one who is considers himself to be aloof and to be that little bit higher above and better than his fellow man. And indeed, when we come to pray, it's only a humble person who will pray. Because the man who's full of himself and who is full of his own importance, as far as he's concerned, he is in need of nothing, so why would he pray? He doesn't need God, so why would he pray? And you know, whenever we come to pray, the very posture that we adopt in prayer signifies humility and meekness. Whether we literally get down on our knees before God and pray or not, if we do, that is signifying our humility, because we are getting down before the Creator of all the earth. And even if we don't do that, if we come, bow our heads, bow our hearts, close our eyes, get our mind concentrated, we are still signifying our meekness and our humility when we come to the place of prayer. I have to move very quickly here. This clock's going quick. When we come to pray then, we've got to be humble to pray. But when we come to pray, how should we pray? And of course that's a series of messages on its own. But very quickly, how should we pray? First of all, we ought to praise the Lord. Well, surely we've all got something we can praise the Lord about. If we are saved at all, there's something we can praise the Lord about. We can praise Him for our salvation. We can praise Him for our family. We can praise Him for our health. We can praise Him for preserving us for yet another day. So many things we can praise the Lord for. And then whenever we've got to the end, if we ever get to the end of praising the Lord, then we can petition Him. We can petition Him for whatever the Holy Spirit lays upon our hearts. We need to say that our praying ought to be in the mind and in the will of God. But if you look at our text again here, Jehovah says that humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We might say, well, that's just really a repetition of praying. Well, it's not actually a repetition of praying, because the word seek in its original there has the idea of to search out, to ask or to beg or to beseech, to desire. It presents the idea of someone who has lost something. You lose your car keys this morning on the way out to church and you're going round the house frantically looking to find those keys. You're searching for them. You're not just thinking in your mind, oh, that I could find my keys. You're actually doing something about it. You're searching. And this idea of seeking the Lord, I believe, is borne out for us in the words of Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And there we read in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, the Lord says to Jeremiah, ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye search for me with all your heart. So this seeking of God's people has got to be a seeking the Lord with all of their hearts. Really petitioning the throne with all of our hearts. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I want you to notice fourthly here that the Lord says, and turn from their wicked ways. And turn from their wicked ways. Jehovah is stating here, he's speaking about his own people. And he's speaking about their wicked ways. Some people would teach and believe that God's people do not have any sin. God's people, according to this text, need to turn from their wicked ways. Sin hinders our prayers. We're thinking here about the prayer that is detailed in this text. And sin, my sin, will hinder my prayers. And if in my own personal life, if I am not experiencing answers to my prayers, and I should say that sometimes when we come to pray, that whenever we look for answers, we get the answer, and sometimes the answer is not the answer we were looking for, but we still get an answer. Because being human, when we come to pray, we tend to think at times that the answer that we should get should be a positive answer. But a negative answer is equally an answer. It's just the same as a positive. The Lord may say yes to something that I am petitioning Him about. And likewise, at the same time, He may say no. The no is equally God's answer as the yes. We need to bear that in mind. Some of God's people, I feel, get discouraged because they didn't get a positive answer, and they failed to see. They were looking so much for the positive answer that they failed to see the Lord answered their prayer, but they give them a negative answer. But sin will hinder the answers to our prayers, regardless. If I am looking for the Lord to answer my prayers this morning, either as an individual believer or as a body of God's people, or as a congregation of the Lord, sin will hinder the answers, our prayers being answered. Look at Psalm 66 and verse 18. A well-known verse of Scripture. Psalm 66 and the verse 18, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Can I turn you also to Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And here in this we have got the details of the prayer that the Lord set, the details of prayer that the Lord will hear and that the Lord will answer. The Lord says here to Solomon, if Israel, if they humble themselves, if they seek my face, if they pray, if they turn from their wicked ways, then. And that brings me to my final point in this text. We've got a promise declared. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I did say that this text, that it did present, it was a conditional covenant that the Lord was making with Solomon. And here we find now that Jehovah, or that because Israel has met their part of the covenant, then Jehovah is now saying, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When will things start to happen for Israel? Then, when they turn away from their sin. In verse 12 there, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. In the verse 14 in our text, the little word then denotes the time scale that whenever Jehovah will start to work. He says, then, and not till then, when God's people seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, pray, then will I hear from heaven. I want you to notice here in this text, and I want you to notice the one who is promising to answer their prayers. It is, of course, Jehovah. In verse 12, there, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And you will notice in your Bible that the word Lord is in capital letters. And every time you read the word Lord in the Old Testament, in the authorized version of the Scriptures, it is the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is which is translated Jehovah, which is one of the names of God. And Jehovah is the one who is promising to answer the prayers of his people. What exactly does the name Jehovah mean? It means simply, I am that I am. And you can find that name used in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through to 15. It was this name that the Lord appeared to Moses in the wilderness. Whenever Moses was questioning his call and questioning his ability to lead the people, Jehovah said to him, I am that I am, have sent thee. What has Jehovah promised to do for his people in this text? And very quickly, because I'll have to be very quick here, my time's just about to go. Jehovah promises to do some things for his people. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If I can refer you back very quickly to chapter 6 and verse 23. What had Solomon prayed for? Solomon had prayed for, first of all, that the Lord would hear from heaven. Verse 23, then hear thou from heaven and do judge thy servants. Verse 25, then hear thou from the heavens. Verse 27, then hear thou from heaven. And what does the Lord say here? Then will I hear from heaven. The Lord is promising to do for Solomon exactly what Solomon was wanting him to do. But then the Lord goes on to say, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. Look at chapter 6 again, verse 21. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant, this is Solomon praying, and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. And then the Lord is promising to heal their land. And Solomon in verse 26 of chapter 6 had prayed about certain pestilences that were coming upon the land. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them. Solomon had prayed against there being no rain, against there being pestilence, against there being locusts and dearth. The Lord says he will heal their land from all of these matters. All of the issues that Solomon was praying about, the Lord has promised here that he is going to heal. If you look with me at chapter 7, verses 15 through 16, the Lord says to Solomon, now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And surely what Solomon prayed for in his day and in his generation, what he needed for his day and generation is what we need, even this very hour. If not in our own hearts and in our own lives, certainly in our own town and area of Ballymena. Many centuries have passed since the days of Solomon. Many years have passed. Solomon has long lain in the dust of the earth. But there's one thing certain this morning, that as we look at this text and as we come to the close of our Bible class this morning, the God that Solomon prayed to has not changed. Because Jehovah, he is immutable. He is unchangeable. He is the same today as he was all those centuries back. And his word to us this morning, even again, in Ballymena would be and still is, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's no other answer. There's no other answer for our needs this morning. There's no other answer for our nation's needs. There's no other answer for the needs of the nations of the world but seeking the Lord's face for salvation and then seeking him for the healing and the restoration of our land spiritually. May the Lord bless what has been of himself this morning to each and to all of our hearts. We'll just close our time by seeking the Lord's face in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious and eternal and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this time that we've spent in thy presence this morning. We thank thee, Father, indeed, that time spent waiting upon thee is never wasted. And our Father and our God, we pray that thou wilt take thy word and write it indelibly upon each and upon every heart. We would ask, Lord, indeed now that thou will remember the morning service that will soon begin, and thy will. We ask of thee, Lord, indeed that thou will bless thy servant who will bring thy word. And we pray, Father, that as we sit under the sound of thy word once again, that thou thyself will be pleased to draw near. And Lord, that our hearts will truly burn within us as the scriptures are opened up and we see thee afresh in all of thy glory and in all of thy wonder. Part us, Lord, with thy fear now and in thy favour. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.